Hi, this is Cass. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening. You're hanging over the edge.
Christianity and protest,
right? Martin Luther probably came up.
No, Jesus did. So I found this website.
That makes sense.
Looks like a Christian website, and it went through the scripture, named the scripture and the event, and how Jesus was protesting against the Bible. And I was like, "What?
You mean the Old Testament?" Protesting
well,
against
yeah, because when Jesus establishment, was right. doing his thing, that's all they had. So, like, he would perform miracles on Sunday, and he would hang out with people and do things on Sunday when he wasn't supposed to do it. And that was kind of his form. It was Jesus's form of protest. And I was like, damn.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's
Hi, Kimmy!
Hi, Cass!
We're here listening to Vince Guaraldi because Doug's here and he's luxuriating in his armchair. What are we talking about?
We're talking about protest.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Civil disobedience.
Resistance.
Yeah.
I have a quote from Gandhi.
Lay it on me.
In the course of serving your fellow creatures, you will get a measure of the progress you have made in nonviolence and of the power that is in nonviolence. Armed with this power, a single person can stand against the whole world. That is not possible with a sword.
Wow.
That was Gandhi in 1938. And his whole thing about nonviolence was it doesn't just mean being peaceful. It meant put your body into situations where you're just not going to fight back.
Right.
There'll be violence bestowed upon you and you just take it.
You've got to be ready.
You've got to be willing to use your body to sacrifice for what you believe in. That's mm-hmm. what he believed.
Yeah.
That's heavy, man.
It is heavy. And that's, that's putting your body in right in front of your morals and your beliefs and your whole being.
I've heard it said, like, using the only thing that you truly have, your body, to lay upon the machine. Lay your body upon the machine so it can't move.
Mm.
Yeah. The machine of injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's so what's going on lately that you want to talk about protesting and resisting,
oh,
Kimmy?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
What's happening? What's happening?
There are protests going on all over the world.
Yes, inspiring protests.
Yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And I was going to dig around in that, and I didn't have time to like kind of document all of the ones that are going on. But it's everywhere. They're just popping up all over the place.
Right.
And I did hear an interview with a woman in Hong Kong. And she was saying that they're using WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. WhatsApp is a big one.
Yeah, because the whole social media scene's been shut down. And so they're using these alternative means of organizing, which was really exciting. I was excited about that.
What's interesting about that is that I looked into that, the sort of new wave of social media, people using social media in protesting. The way that it mirrored older styles of protesting, like during the French Resistance. So part of what was happening with the resistance in France during World War II was that they were interrupting lines of communication or interrupting transportation of goods, things mm-hmm. like that. So if you think about this sort of network of people, this underground network of people, mm-hmm. and lay it on top of an underground network, a social network, it's similar, But the social media can reach so many more people so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It's very exciting.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think it's also kind of an avenue for apathy, too.
What do you mean?
If people are really engaged and they're invested, they can use social media to move forward and take action. Or they can sit around and tweet.
And not do anything.
Yeah. And I think we talked about that before.
We have, yeah.
So there's a conundrum there. I'm hoping that... I hope that we take action and not just sit around and tweet and complain and then put our phone down and go off and buy a cup of coffee and go shopping, you know?
Well, we'll probably take turns doing both, I imagine.
Well, yeah, coffee is important.
Coffee is really important.
I should have had more this afternoon, apparently. Oh!
I was thinking about social media and movements that have popped up in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Lives Matter.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The idea of a photo of people putting their hands up saying, don't shoot, in a protest way.
Yep.
Was very powerful. And that mm-hmm. hashtag caught fire. The Umbrella Movement in Hong Kong. And that started with an artist, I think, but the protesters in Hong Kong use those umbrellas to shield themselves from pepper spray.
Ah.
So it was a utilitarian thing at first, but now it's become a symbol for their movement. So that's why if you look at pictures and video from Hong Kong, a lot of them are carrying umbrellas, and they actually use them in defense like shields.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. The Me Too movement started... It started with people, but it really exploded online in a hashtag where people went, what does that hashtag mean?
Right.
I want to be involved. Yeah. Oh, now I have to tell my story, or now I want to tell my story, or now I can tell my story.
Or now I've heard these stories and I'm not alone.
Right.
You know, it's a very inclusive thing.
Right.
Very quick way to unite people.
The checking in at Standing Rock. Do you remember doing that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So not only...
I forgot about that.
You know, it was in such a remote place. It was during the winter, this protest for the pipeline, that mm-hmm. people couldn't get there. Most people who work can't get there.
Right.
But a lot of people checked in on Facebook and said, uh-huh. I'm at Standing Rock. And then right. sent money. You know I sent money to their GoFundMe to keep yep. their camp going so they could keep protesting that oil yeah. pipeline. The Fridays for Climate Change movement has spread across the room. Oh, my God.
Because we're all really living under the same roof.
It's true. It's spread across the world with a face of Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah.
That face, man, that face just looks like the face of resistance and innocence and anger.
Right.
The hoodie pics for Trayvon Martin. Do you remember that?
Oh, yep.
After yeah. Trayvon Martin was killed, President Obama had said something like, if I had had a son, he would have looked like Trayvon.
Yeah.
Which started people thinking about the people in their lives that were 17-year-old punks, you know, going to the liquor store to buy Skittles or whatever. And I know I did it. I took a picture with a hoodie on. The pink pussy hats.
Oh, yeah, for the Women's March.
For the Women's March. That spread online.
That. Yep. Yeah. And there were women out there just knitting away, crocheting away, making these hats, and it was awesome.
Crafting and getting together like an old quilting bee.
Yes.
Community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the last one that I looked up was the March for Our Lives from the Parkland students.
Oh, God.
Those guys, that group, really organized an online presence like we've never seen before, especially from a group that age. So that was... very impressive. So those were just some things that I had thought about in the past few years that have happened mm-hmm. that were helped along with the social media sphere.
Yep.
If you will.
And those things brought people together online and in real life.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I think when we're together, I know I've said this before, broken record, Kim, but when we are together in the same space, it's a magical thing.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
To be with like-minded people and to stand up for what you believe in. And
right.
The Women's March in LA was just amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing getting on the train to go there with all of these people. And it felt wonderful
it
to
felt
be
amazing that day,
a
yeah.
part of that, yeah. you know, and just to talk to people, take pictures of signs, and it was a good thing,
mm-hmm.
and we can continue to do that,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully that momentum will not cease.
Well, it comes and goes when it's needed. I have another quote for you.
Okay,
this is just from some random Reverend William Sloan Coffin. Hope resists, hopelessness adapts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got to think about that for
a
second.
Yeah, you think about it and then you go, oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. True. And when we come back, you can tell everybody why you wanted to do this. What we were doing when you said, hey, we should do a show about.
Oh, yes.
Protesting.
Dismantled. What's that going to look like? And I don't know that that's really catastrophic thinking.
No, I've had the same thought, and I'm not as catastrophically thinkingly as you. Catastrophically thinking as you. I'll come up with it soon. Well, I mean, I also wrote down successful historical protests.
Lots of them. Yeah.
There's so many. And mm-hmm. there's hope to be had in that, the idea of that.
Yeah.
And if you think about like the French occupation, the Nazi occupation of France, they went through what? 6-7 years mm-hmm. of occupation. That's brutal. But they kept fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give up.
Yeah.
So don't give up, Kimmy.
I'll try not
to. But give the love of Mama. Kimmy, what were we doing when we thought of doing this episode?
Well, we were putting out cute little protest signs. So everybody, Cass is a potter, and she made all of these ceramic protest signs.
Teeny tiny ones.
They're teeny tiny ones. They're what? Probably 3-4 inches across, a couple inches tall,
yeah,
with a stick.
A little stick, all made of ceramic.
And they say things like Black Lives Matter, love,
equal rights,
ERA,
yep.
fuck Trump. And so we went out and saw a light display the other night together. And when we were done, we drove around and put these little signs.
Yeah.
Around town. And also a bust of Trump.
The grotesque bust of Trump. And around his sign, I had hung around his sign. God, my head is not working. Around his neck, I had hung signs. And they were interchangeable and reversible. So there were 4 sayings. One was rapist. The other was racist. Liar and fake.
Yep.
So it's an interactive toy. If somebody found it and took it home, they could, you know, put whatever sign they want on him that day.
Like a Barbie.
He's like a really grotesque, racist, rapist-y Barbie doll.
Yeah. How cute. Anyway, it was so much fun. And it was, it's cool to leave things around that somebody might pick up and possibly put somewhere else. Yeah.
Those make me happy.
Yeah.
We've done this before. We did this during the George W. Bush reign of terror. We went and put signs up around, regular paper signs.
Yep.
Not anything solid, but that was fun too.
Off ramps and all over the place. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. And that was before, like, you know, social media. I think maybe flip phones were around then.
Flip phones and websites. Yeah.
And websites. But
we had websites, but we had to go to a desktop computer to see them.
Yes, there were no smartphones yet or anything. God, it's amazing how quickly things change.
How quickly, yeah.
So I think that kind of stuff makes a difference. And that it's public protest art.
Oh, yeah.
Which there's plenty, you know. We've got Shepard Fairey out there.
Mm-hmm. Banksy.
Tons of them. They're all over Italy. I saw many of them there. And one of the things I love about protest street art is that if you're paying attention, it's kind of an Easter egg hunt. If you're paying attention, you'll find one. And then you kind of have to think about, well, what's this trying to say? Sometimes it's very obvious, but other times it's a little more subtle, and you kind of have to think about it. And in doing so, you're engaged in the process. You're being curious. You're inquisitive. This artist had something to say, and you might just discover you agree with them.
Or not.
Or
but
not.
You agree with the idea that they should be allowed to express themselves.
Exactly.
Hopefully you agree with that.
Which is our constitutional right?
The first one.
Yes. Free speech.
There's also a strong history in this country, especially, of protest music.
And oh, yeah.
We covered that when we covered Woody Guthrie.
Mm-hmm. Lots of protest music. During the Civil War, the slaves would use spirituals and songs that they would all sing together to communicate with each other about, you know, the Underground Railroad or where it was safe or when it was going to be a good time to hit the road.
Right.
So music and art have a very firm standing in the world of protest.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes it's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, I know in South Africa at one point they had sort of banned protest, and I'm sure it's been done around the world. So Nelson Mandela came up with this idea, I think from prison. He sent the word out on one certain day in South Africa, all the black people were to stay home from work. No one went to work.
Oh, wow.
So they weren't allowed to be in the street. They just stayed home.
Okay. Watch this.
You get
guys.
A whole day without any black South Africans.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
they did it
happens.
Again, and it worked. It was something. It was one of the things that worked. That was a very long, dark time in South Africa's history. But, and again, in South Africa's history, music played a huge part in their protest movement. Huge. Mm-hmm. It, like you said, conveyed messages to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they couldn't get out in a TV show or in the newspaper, but they could sing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And their songs were so strong, they would sing them at protest marches, and they were so loud that it would intimidate the soldiers there to basically stop them.
Wow.
They would dance and sing so loud and stomp their feet, and there would be so many of them out in mass numbers that there was nothing for those soldiers to do.
Right.
They just stood there slack-jawed, unable to move.
That reminds me of Ai Weiwei,
the
Chinese artist who I believe he's still in jail.
I think he's out.
Is he out now?
Out or I don't think he's in China anymore.
That's a good thing.
I could be wrong, though. Go ahead with your story.
He was, he spoke out against the government, and then they put him in jail for tax fraud, which was a sham. And while he was in jail, he would create these art installations in his head or on paper, and he would write to people, his army of artists throughout the world, and they would create these things. And they were big, giant protest art installations. There was one on Alcatraz.
Oh, that's rad.
And so that's how he was speaking from prison, with his art, with the people that supported him.
Like a mob boss, but for artists.
Right.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Wow, that's inspiring.
That. Yeah. So there's always something we can do. Always, 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 always.
Well, and it's said that if you want to resist, there you can do it in small ways.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to harken back to the French Resistance, but it's something that it fascinates me in that romantic kind of it happened in a different era way.
Right.
But it was said that, you know, the French women to protest would make sure that their clothes looked nice. They made sure that they did everything they could to get food because the Nazis were trying to starve them all. And the French appreciate good food. Mm. And so it was part of their stubborn protest to, you know, send one of their kids to the next village to go get a head of cauliflower or something like that. Or to get a group of friends together to do each other's hair because that would really irk the Nazis.
Right.
Things like that. Like, right. Like reveling in their Frenchness.
Right. This is who we are and we're not going to let you take that away from us.
So those were little bits that they were doing. It wasn't a lot, but it kept their dignity.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it was noticed. It was noticed that they kept doing their hair and wearing fine clothes and pretending like nothing was happening when the soldiers were around. Like
Cassie is holding her chin up right now. And I don't know if that's on purpose or not, but it's that feeling of, no, you're not going to take my dignity. No, you're not going to take my identity. This is who I am and you can't touch this.
Yeah.
The English did the same thing. You know, the phrase, keep calm and carry on.
Right.
That was their mantra as their country was being bombed. Like, we're not going to let these fools disrupt our daily goings on. We're not going to hide. We're not going to be afraid. We are going to keep calm and carry on.
Right.
And we're going to do the things that we do every day. Screw those guys.
Right.
And that's, it's protest and self-preservation and all kinds of good things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an example for the people around you.
Right.
And that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
We learned a lot during the Second World War. It seems as though we may have forgotten some of it. I have family in Germany and, family in Germany during the Second World War. And they were not on board with Hitler's Yahoo.
Right. Yahoo.
We have so many good words.
We're so smart.
But you couldn't, I mean, it got to the point where if you spoke out against them, you'd be hauled off.
Right.
So.
Well, Gandhi wrote a letter during that time telling the Germans, hey, you've got to put your body in the way. You still have to speak up. And if they take you away to one of their camps, well,
right,
maybe somebody will follow your example.
But then what happens if there's nobody left to protest?
I don't know.
That's where it gets a little weird.
It does.
But my cousin told us, and this is a distant cousin, that the children had to be in the Hitler Youth. It was a requirement that all the children were participants in these, like, they were like Boy Scout troops, Girl Scout troops, Hitler Youth troops, basically. And it wasn't an option not to do it.
Right.
You had to do it. So they had to purchase the uniform. They had to purchase all of the things. And she told us that her mother, her mother told them that they didn't have enough money to buy the buttons for the jacket.
Wow.
And she realized later that that was not true. That was her mom's little form of protest to not purchase those buttons.
Wow.
And she just told them, oh, we can't afford it. We just can't afford the buttons. Sorry. So I thought, I wonder...
how many other German mothers did little tiny things like that?
Little things like that to say, this isn't okay with me.
Right.
Without, you know, hurting themselves or their family or their children.
Have you seen Jojo Rabbit yet?
No.
It's about a Hitler youth and his imaginary friend who is Hitler, but a funny Hitler.
Oh. Okay. I had a flash of South Park's. Oh, Tannenbaum.
Anyway. If you get a chance, see it.
Okay.
It speaks to that and the mother doing things to resist. Mm. Yeah.
All those little ways.
All the little ways.
They did that during the Civil War for the Underground Railroad, too.
Yeah.
There were lots of little... some of this is contested, but I choose to believe... But, you know, freedom quilts, that they would hang quilts out.
Oh, no, those are real.
I read a couple articles that said that it's not.
I have a book of freedom quilts.
I've always believed that it was true. So.
Okay.
Screw those guys on the interwebs.
Yeah, don't listen to guys on the interwebs.
So the freedom quilts, they had certain symbols on these quilts that would kind of alert the folks around them that, okay, so...
Well, they were used as maps, too.
Uh-huh.
Maps. Yeah, there'd be stars or different symbols to show people which way to go, and different symbols meant different cities or landmarks, things like that.
They would use... they'd make crazy quilts, right?
Mm-hmm.
For that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also... And I found this out just a few years ago, and I was ridiculously excited about it. There's a rose, I don't even know if it grows wild anymore. It's green. It almost looks like a hellebore flower.
Mm-hmm.
It's really small, very unobtrusive, not very noticeable. But the sympathizers would wear this rose on a lapel or a hat or somewhere on their body, and it was a symbol of their
support.
Support. So basically, I'm a safe person.
Right.
You know, I'm on board with you.
This is one of the reasons why I put the resist sticker in my front window by my driveway. So that people know that this is a safe house to come to if, say, ICE is after them or, you know what I mean? Like, when
right.
all of this stuff with DACA went down and the...
Oh, God.
I was thinking to myself, I know people.
Yeah.
But how do you tell people that you are willing to help? I don't know.
Right.
And the only way I could think was like, I'm going to put this sticker in my window. And if somebody sees it and needs help, I don't know.
It was just your way of saying, I'm supporting you. I'm here. I'm a safe place.
We've got little crevices you could hide in. Do you have any?
Don't get on Vespa's
what
bad
did you,
side.
Yeah. Oh, God. What did you find out, Kimmy?
The protest is awesome.
What about it?
Well, I did. I already started working on the website, and I've. There's a link for all of our senators'
contact information,
and a link to the ACLU's website and how to stay safe if you do choose to protest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's coming. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We're going to have to put our bodies on the line. We're going to have to do things. Because if we don't, our democracy may just unravel and be gone. And it sounds apocalyptic, but right now we're looking at a level of treachery and corruption in our government that it...
We've never seen it here.
I don't think we've ever seen before.
No.
We were talking before we started recording about the hearings the other night, and neither one of us watched them, or during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's excruciating because the Republicans are regurgitating this narrative from the Russians,
mm-hmm.
this propaganda, digging their heels into these ideas that are not founded in reality at all.
They're conspiracy theories.
They are deflecting whatever they do, they accuse the other side of doing. It's insidious.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like a mania almost, like a mass hysteria. Like they've all decided that they're fighting for Trump no matter what, and Trump is working for Putin, so we're just going to say a bunch of stuff that helps Putin.
Right.
Because they're trying to win a football game. There's no patriotism in what they're doing right now at all.
No, their allegiance is to Trump or Putin. I mean, we were talking the other night, like, what if, okay, Russia hacked the DNC.
They also hacked
the
RNC.
And so do they have a whole boatload of dirt on a bunch of Republican senators, House members, governors, judges, etc.? And they're just holding it over their heads? And these guys are scared? And they're willing
to... What could scare them that much? I mean, scandals happen all the time. People get ruined in politics all the time. You'll bounce back. You'll still have your life. What is that scary to them? That they would give up allegiance to our Constitution? An oath of office that they all took.
Right.
I mean, I'm dumbfounded. I don't think anything except for, like... Are you in a murder cult or something? I mean, what is the GOP a murder cult? I'm going to spread conspiracy theories like Jim Jordan does.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't figure it out. I don't understand.
Like, what is so bad that they are all willing to forego reality to be a mouthpiece for Russian propaganda? What the fuck?
I don't know. I wonder if it's just a whole network of institutions and people that will come down, and that's what they're all fighting for.
Oh.
You know, you think of the Federalist Society, and there's, you know, mountains of them all over the place.
Right.
And if it comes out that the Republican Party is a corrupt machine and it brings the whole freaking party down, I guess that would be scary, but in my mind, like, this is our country, it's our constitution, it's our...
There have been other parties in our country's history that have died and gone away. It wouldn't be the end of the world. All of the people that feel that way would just form a different party, and maybe we would get some standards in place, some regulations to avoid the corruption in the future.
I would hope so. That's the other thing that's at risk, is if our government becomes so corrupt, there's no turning back. It can't be undone.
But something else can be reborn in its place, Kimmy.
Not for a long time, though, I don't think.
Hitler was eventually defeated. The Vietnam War eventually ended. The Berlin Wall eventually came down.
Right.
Bad things happen, but good things happen, too.
That's true.
Don't lose hope.
That just leads me back to the idea that this is somehow connected to climate change. And I cannot articulate
your feeling,
the idea that's in my head that's formulating, but mm-hmm. I just feel like there's some kind of connection there. Are they trying to make a new world order before the world is so damaged that it can't support all of the people on it, for instance?
Oh, so that only the elite get to continue living?
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. I'll figure it out in a couple years. Take a while.
So you were talking about the website? What were you doing on the website? You put the ACLU and the blah, 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 blah.
Oh, well, I started the post for tonight.
Okay.
I didn't finish it yet. But yeah, so I put some links on and some ideas for how we can protest
mm-hmm.
peacefully.
Right.
We can't control what people do.
No. Nope.
But we can give them some ideas.
Yep.
And, you know, there's, of course, letter writing campaigns, boycotts, marches, just gathering together, just refusing to go to work
mm-hmm.
or go to the gas station or whatever. Like, these things are most effective, though, when they happen in mass.
In mass,
everybody
yeah.
does it together.
Yeah.
So you'd have to get you know, we'd all have to be on board for a few specific things, but there we can do it.
There was an interesting protest that I read about that I'd never heard about before, and it was during the early 1900s. You know, in this country, we have a history of lynching, murdering black men mostly, but black people. And there was a time where they were still happening, getting blamed for things that they didn't do.
Oh, yeah.
But in the old days, instead of due process, there was just a lynching that would happen.
Right.
And so there was a period of a couple years where several men were lynched, and not just lynched, but horrible, just torturing, brutal, just awful. And I believe it was the NAACP organized a march where they, everyone wore white, and there were close to 100,000 people, 80,000 people, something like that. And I believe it was in Chicago. Everyone wore white, and they were completely silent the whole time.
And they just marched.
They marched in silence. And I thought, oh my God, that's as powerful as the South African protests, so loud that leave the soldiers in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine everyone wearing white and marching with steadfast looks on their faces in silence. That sounded so powerful to me.
Yeah. And scary for those not on board. I mean, scary not that you feel like you're going to get hurt, but in a different way. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
just it would cause a somberness, a humility, a reason to stop and think instead of like, oh, those stupid people just making noise and whatever.
Right.
I mean, noise can be very effective also, but like, especially because it was around the brutal killing of people. There's an extra somberness to that idea.
And it doesn't invite a response.
No, exactly.
And also it sounds like a funeral.
It sounds
procession.
Like a funeral. Who is going to protest a funeral procession?
But a big, 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 big funeral procession.
Big.
Oh, God help us all. So I wrote down some famous protest moments in American history, and one of my this sounds terrible. One of my favorite. Sacco and Vanzetti.
What is that?
So in 1920, there was some unrest, and back then immigrants were, you know, they had demonized immigrants. There was this
every new wave of immigrants became demonized. Yeah,
everybody was afraid of immigrants. There was a big fear of communism. It's, you know, it just kind of echoes, or
it cycles around. Yeah.
And a couple men were killed, and they falsely accused. Well, they falsely tried. Two Italian men, Sacco and Vanzetti.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scandalous at the time, and everybody knew about it, and there were protests. And toward the end of the trial, or after they were incarcerated, new evidence was discovered that proved they didn't do it. And of course, that evidence was not honored. It wasn't taken to court or anything. Mm-hmm. These two men were executed,
mm-hmm.
and there was an outpouring of anger about it.
Yeah.
But that incident has been noted by Woody Guthrie, Bob Dylan, Allen Ginsberg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it's interesting to think of these events as
touchstones almost.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I like the Beats, and I like Bob Dylan, and I like Woody Guthrie, and this name just keeps popping up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These names. And so now here we are in the year almost 2020 talking about Sacco and Vanzetti.
100 years later.
Right. Yeah. there's been very notable, obviously, throughout the world, protests. Tiananmen Square.
Huge. Another one, interestingly, which cycles back around Tiananmen Square, there were a million people in Tiananmen Square at some point. It went on for a while.
Long time.
Most of them students.
Yes.
Which is what's happening in Hong Kong right now.
Students seem to be the ones who put their foot down. And I don't know.
Also, they don't have families and mortgages and car payments, and they have the luxury of youth and strong bodies and
idealism. Yes. They're in that magical space of their lives where they're invincible, they're idealistic,
they're educated,
outspoken. Their whole world is exploding, and at certain points, you know, there's in history, there are also other things that impact their view of the world.
Right.
Tiananmen Square is mostly remembered for the photograph of the man standing in front of the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way that art or technology injects itself into protests mm-hmm. and human rights. That picture is so powerful.
One of the most in history.
It is a man standing in front of a tank. Saying,
he's standing in front of a line of tanks. It's one man against a line of tanks.
Yeah.
And to this day, no one knows who he is.
No. Nope. But he's impacted the world.
He did that with his body. He put his body on the line. And to this, forever, he'll be remembered.
Yeah.
One man against an army.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Josh, my son had some friends over last year for his art history class, and they all knew that photo. They were talking about it, but they didn't understand the context or anything. So I pulled it out, you know, grabbed one of my photography books and pulled it out and talked to him about it. And so it really hit me then, like, this photo is really important.
Yes.
In the 1960s, the Orangeburg Massacre, black civil rights protesters mm-hmm. were gunned down. And again, they weren't doing anything. They were marching.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's how it goes.
Yeah.
One of the very first civil rights marches happened in 1817.
Wow!
Yep.
What?
Yep, here in America.
Do you know what state?
I didn't write down any notes on that. I just wrote down dates.
That's interesting.
And I don't remember.
Well, I know the abolitionist movement was very active between 1930-ish and 1965 when slavery ended. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that there were rumblings already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. There was a big strike in France in 1968.
Oh, yes. Was that the trash strike? Is that where the trash men left all the trash on the streets and it was just in heaps and burning? And was that one?
Oh, it could have been. Oh, I wish I'd written better notes. Written better notes.
You written better notes?
Blah, blah, blah. In 1381, there was a peasants' revolt in London.
Thank God.
Yeah, right? This is an age-old thing. And as I was talking about earlier, too, I found a website that documented Jesus's protests.
Right.
And different ways that he protested the Old Testament of the Bible. And one of those things was working miracles and doing things on the Sabbath day.
Right.
He hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes and poor people and lepers and, you know, the dregs of society, mm-hmm. using air quotes. And that was not okay.
Mm-mm.
People were pissed about that. What are you doing, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you hanging out with those people?
Right.
1971, the riot at Attica Prison.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
Holy moly. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Inmates just, yep.
Yep.
They did the thing.
Well, that's what happens when people are held down under a thumb for too long.
Right. People want to be treated humanely in any given situation, even if they're in jail.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
speaking of jails, there was the occupation of Alcatraz in the 70s,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is that the 70s or the 60s?
I think it was like late 60s into the 70s. Yeah. It lasted a while, didn't it?
It lasted a while, yeah. Yeah. Occupied, yeah, a native tribe occupied.
They occupied
the island of Alcatraz. That's rad.
And there's still evidence of that occupation there. And
well, they also commemorate it. That's why I'm remembering it, because I think Colin Kaepernick just went in solidarity and went and joined them there.
Oh.
I think they do a thing on anniversaries where they come back and do like a, you know, a powwow basically on Alcatraz.
That makes sense. And of course, San Francisco lets them do it because that's San Francisco.
Right.
Yep. The Detroit riots, the Watts riots.
Oh, yeah.
Was a big one.
Again, with societal frustration.
Mm-hmm.
That's what caused the L.A. riots after the, what's his face? O.J. Simpson. No. Rodney King.
Rodney King. Oh, that was scary.
That was scary.
That was, I think that's the closest. Well, yeah, that's the closest I've ever experienced that. Like, oh, I guess I'm not going out.
Yeah.
I'm staying home.
Yeah.
In 1943, the Warsaw Ghetto uprising ended. And sadly, those people in the ghetto were taken to a concentration camp and killed.
Yeah, but that fight is really inspiring. And that story got told over and over and over again. They stood up for themselves.
Mm-hmm. They did. And we're talking about it now. I haven't been forgotten. 1789, mutiny on the Bounty. So there are plenty of examples to go by. You know, there's plenty that we can do.
I have some more that you didn't mention.
Please.
That I found inspiring. The storming of the Bastille.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The French Revolution inspired by the American Revolution.
Yes. Oh, good one. Yeah. Yes.
The March on Washington, where MLK gave his I Have a Dream speech.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
That is a star in America's crown, if you ask me.
Yeah, the shining star. And then a few months later, the 50-mile march from Selma to Montgomery.
Oh, yeah.
For voting rights.
Another one.
Oh. Yeah. The Monday demonstrations. So this is interesting. I'd never heard of this. This started in October of 1989, and it was in East Germany. The communists occupied East Germany. On Saturdays, it started out with one, a smallish one, and then it spread. And every Saturday for about 5 weeks, there were protests in East Germany, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Wow.
The wall came down in November of 89. They started protesting in October. The Berlin Wall came down in November.
Wow.
I never knew that. I thought it was like Ronald Reagan over there doing diplomacy and capitalism. That's how we're told.
Yeah.
It happened. But it was the people that did it.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that.
Ugh. Wow.
And then in the early 2010s, the Arab Spring. That happened over a few years.
Yeah.
And that was in Tunisia, and Egypt was the biggest one where 1 million people hit the street. And that one was also fueled by social media, where things weren't getting out on mainstream media, but people could be on Facebook together.
I remember that. I remember there being reports of like, so this came through social media, this video.
Right.
But nobody else is talking about it.
Yeah.
But here's the proof.
Here's a big one you didn't mention, Kimmy. The Boston frickin' Tea Party.
Oh my God.
Not big, but important in our nation's history. So we've been told. Who knows? The anti-war protests of the late 60s, early 70s.
Vietnam protests.
Yeah, which resulted in a lot of art and literature in our country.
Mm-hmm.
The GM, General Motors, sit-down strikes in 1936.
Oh.
Listen to this, Kimmy. They occupied the plant one day in 1936, and they stayed there for 1.5 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Until their demands were met. They had tried to unionize. And they were union busted and whatever. And so they all went to work one day and just sat down where they were and refused to work. And people brought them food.
And, oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
And their demands were met with that protest. And then another big one, the Montgomery bus boycott.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a organized effort, and Rosa Parks became the face of it.
Yes.
But other people were doing it also, as well as sitting at lunch counters, which was illegal for Black people to do.
Getting into pools.
Exactly. Yeah. All of that.
Drinking at the water fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I don't...
Shivers. Yeah, shivers.
Gives me the creeps. Fuck is wrong with
people? And we're still dealing with the echoes of that today. I mean, the Black Lives Matter movement is happening for a reason,
right?
You know, so I'm happy that we got to do this episode because I still want you to have hope.
Okay,
I still want me to have hope. And if it comes down to it and we have to do more than set up little ceramic signs around town, we'll do that.
Well, I think folks are going to have to really do some soul searching and decide what they're willing to stand for and what they're willing to sacrifice. Granted, most people in our country, American-born citizens with American-born parents and American-born grandparents, we haven't really suffered much, us white people here.
No, we haven't. Not the white people.
No. We don't know what it's like to, we just don't know.
We don't.
And it's not close enough in our history to have the stories, you know, to hear from our grandparents or great-grandparents what it was like, you know, in Ireland, the potato famine, or what it was like to flee Germany or, you know.
Right.
We don't have that experience. Mm-hmm. And we're not harassed on a daily basis like some groups of people in our country.
Right.
So it's going to take some soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do things. We can practice civil disobedience.
Yay!
We can march. We can break unfair laws. Are we willing to go to jail for the night? I heard an interview with Jane Fonda.
She's getting arrested every Friday on Climate Change Fridays.
Yes, that's her plan. She said she went I think I heard it last week. She said, yeah, I can be arrested 2 more times and then they're going to put me away for a while. And I can't do that because I have a project coming up and I have to work. And I was like, well, that's practical because, you know, it's like the airplane thing. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first so you can help other people.
Right.
And if you've got to go self-preservationist for a minute so that you're able to help others and continue speaking, then that's what you need to do.
That's good advice for all of us.
But, oh yeah, she was so matter of fact. She was like, I love going to jail. I meet so many interesting people there. I met this manicurist from the Bronx or whatever. And she was just, you know, she's really honest about it. Like, this is what I do. And that's what she's always done.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time.
Yeah.
We can boycott things too. And that's a real easy peasy one. Mm-hmm. If a whole bunch of people get together and say, oh yeah, you know what? We're not buying gas next week.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're not doing whatever. We're not shopping at Walmart anymore. We're not going to Chick-fil-A. Ain't gonna happen.
Right.
You can also protest around these places. You can march around. You can stand on the sidewalk.
You're allowed to stand on the sidewalk.
You
don't have a permit to stand on the sidewalk.
No, you don't need a permit to stand on the sidewalk, as long as you're not obstructing doorways and stuff.
Right, or harassing people.
You can hand out leaflets. You can't use a bullhorn or sound equipment, I don't believe, without a permit.
Without a permit
for that and for tables,
mm-hmm.
For large marches that will stop traffic. Close streets, you do need a permit for that. But if you want to go down to the park and hang out,
yeah,
a whole bunch of people, you can do that.
You can do that.
You can stand around in the park.
You can light candles.
You can light candles. You can go down to the park and sing and light candles.
You can become a guest on our show and talk about whatever issue it is that's bothering you right now.
Yeah. Come on.
it seems like, so usually when we come up with an episode idea, we confer about sort of divvying up responsibilities, but we didn't do that this time. And it seems like we followed the same trajectory, because here I am with the what you should do, not should do, but what you can do.
Oh, awesome. Bit
short and sweet. Be informed about your rights.
Mm-hmm.
Join the masses. Register to vote. Get others to register and vote. And mm-hmm. stand up for what is right and true. If yes. somebody's lying, point it out.
Yep.
If something's not right, point it out.
Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of times in history where people broke laws that were unjust and are considered illegal and immoral today. So...
Nothing changes.
Nothing
if you
changes.
Don't work hard at it and
just
speak
do
up.
What's right and speak truth and we'll be okay.
We'll be okay.
The other thing I'd like to offer is I'm going to make some more tiny ceramic protest signs. If anybody wants one,
ooh.
Just send me your address. I not only love ceramics, but I love the post office. So let me know and I'll send you some.
That's one thing we do not have in common, Kat.
I love the post office. Oh, I put one of my fuck Trump signs at the post office here in Pasadena.
Nice.
And I went back 5 days later and it was still there.
Oh, really?
In the ground, in the parking lot, in front of one of the parking spaces.
Interesting.
And I thought, oh, people are leaving it there. And then I went back like 3 days later because it's Christmas season and I have a bunch of stuff to do. And it was gone.
It was
so.
Gone.
And Doug was in the car, and I said, oh, somebody grabbed it and took it home. He goes, or the gardener took it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. But maybe the gardeners hate Trump, too.
Maybe they just moved it somewhere else so some other people could see it.
Maybe. But I'm going to make a lot more fuck Trumps. Those ones felt really good to leave around.
If you want any help making signs, let me know.
Oh.
I'd love to come to Cassie's ceramic workshop sometime.
You'll have a wild look in your eye and clay in your hair. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
Any final thoughts, Kimmy?
Write your senators today and tell them that our democracy is at stake and they have a vote.
What about people around the world? What can they do to help us right now?
God.
Talk to your friends. Remember us.
I don't know. Will there be a global protest soon?
I mean, it feels like it.
It does, doesn't it?
Feels like that's happening.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just know you're not alone.
We're all in the class of people that should be protesting the other class of people who are trying to hold us all down.
Has it come to that? Us and them?
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. Is that a Pink Floyd song?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Curio Podcast is a Porch Swing production. Big thanks to all of our contributors and special guests. For more info, please visit Twitter at Podcast Curio, Curio Podcast on Facebook, and CurioPodcast.org. And remember, Curio Podcast loves you.
Yay!